Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of the School of Social Marketing with Dr. Ron Capps. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the past, because the past is important. It's the building and the foundation, but really it's the future that it's all about, isn't it, Dr. Capps?
Well, as you and I have both discussed, you know, the internet is continually evolving. We can't forget what has happened before historically, but we also have to be envisioning what is possible in the future. I always find it fascinating how sometimes we wind up way ahead of the curve and then see things that maybe we had wished for, hoped for, or predicted come true as we move forward.
Well, it's all an education process. You being a communications professor, you certainly focus on it different than most people, I think. But the bottom line to it is you have to learn how to use the tools and then really take action and use them. But this past year has been a really amazing one, in 2014, with the introduction of so many video-oriented tools. And the emphasis now is swinging much more so into mobile communications. You see that as the focal point of 2015?
Well, I think that between video and mobile, or portable devices, smartphones, tablets, and for that matter, even your smart TVs, we're seeing an increasing evolution away from the laptop or the old desktop computer and other platforms. And most of the research done by Forrester's and other labs indicate that much more of the content is going to be video-driven in the future. It taps into our desire to be entertained, as well as provides an easier format frequently for learning or teaching. You know, people are either have very many different learning styles. Very few people are merely auditory learners. In other words, they hear something and they've got it. More people, according to Yale University, are going to retain things and learn things if they're also involved in the process of doing, and if they can see it. And that's where the things that we do with video and video online and how to do things fits perfectly into the scheme of things and the scheme of learning. But the one thing that we'll have to evolve more so is our awareness not only of putting the content out there, but once it gets out there, attracting the correct audience to it, getting it found by the search engines, and being able to then take that audience and convert it to action, either for a political reason, a social reason, or an economic reason. And so it's not merely a matter of creating the product or the video, it's a matter of getting it seen by the correct target audience, and then by having that actually move that audience to take an action of some sort.
Well, last night was the first night of an organization called SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives is what it actually stands for. But they really started to, over the last couple of years, shift their focus and take it away from this retired executive model, which is, I mean, what it is. It's a mentoring service, but placing it much more on the emphasis of helping small businesses succeed, because they're, you know, let's face it, the small businesses are the ones that really need the help. Last night there were about 50 people in a meeting room at the University of Central Florida's Business Incubator Center at Daytona International Airport. And I've been here 2 years, didn't even know that that existed. The setup is really interesting, because in this building out at the airport is an incubator, if you will, a place where small businesses can have offices, can do workshops and the like. And SCORE, being a mentoring organization, is now partnering with that group of University of Central Florida to provide mentoring. And as I was talking with the current president of the organization, the local chapter, I said, well, what's the difference between mentoring and coaching? And he said, well, basically they're the same, but a coach or a consultant is in it to help, to do it for the people, to charge, essentially. Mentoring is free advice, is to help somebody without a dollar figure attached to it. And, you know, these subtleties are interesting because, you know, I mean, I looked at those people in the room and I'm thinking, they all need video. I ought to be able to sell something to them. And then I realized, oops, that's not the mentoring philosophy, is it?
No, mentoring is essentially being a positive role model with not really any expectation other than that they take a look at what you're providing. And if they find it of use or they see how they can benefit from it, they begin to model after what you're doing or replicate it. And so it is essentially a paying it forward, and it's giving with the expectation of nothing other than helping someone else.
Well, I know you work with several people. I guess you're my mentor. Yes, I really think about that. Yeah, you know, and the opportunity that I have to share some of this video things that I've learned has been a very interesting exercise. But what I'm finding is a lot of the people, despite the fact that it's really best to know how to do it yourself, one of the first questions is, well, can I find somebody to do it for me? The woman who spoke last night, a woman by the name of Donna Loader, who's a social media marketing person, a former banker and all that, one of the audience people said, well, is that something that your company can do for me? You know, and I know how difficult it is, or I think I know how difficult it is for a small business person to do a lot of this, but isn't it really in their best interest to learn how to do some of this themselves?
Not really. It goes back to the philosophy of, do you want to work in your business or on your business? That's why the explosion of freelance services beyond Freelancer and Elancer and Scriptlancer have evolved out into Fiverr and similar platforms. It's much easier to pay someone else to do the work for you, and it's much more efficient use of your time. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a rudimentary knowledge of what is working or how it's working, or be able to go in and make sure they're doing what they were contracted to do. But as far as the actual mundane doing of the task, no, if they can find someone else to do it for them at a cost-effective point, then that is the best thing to do. Obviously, also, the higher degree of automation that they can introduce into what they do, the better. I know I myself am guilty of trying to do everything myself, and I'm becoming more and more aware of the importance of not taking it all on, but if I can find a reliable outsourcer or two to perform specific tasks, it's well worth the investment.
Well, certainly the expertise is with the people who are doing specific functions, and you know, jack of all trades, master of none is an expression that's constantly out there for everybody. But as we move into the new year, is there a particular track that you're looking at? Is there anything, any trends that you're following closer than others?
Well, yeah, I mean, you and I have talked before about a couple of things that I'm going to revisit today. And one of those things is Roku, which is a device, as many people are now learning, that you can download and stream media directly to your television or your smart vision monitor or to your smart devices or even to your laptops or your desktop computers. And the second thing I want to talk about is something we've talked about involving images and videos and documents. And this goes back to some of the things that we've discussed before. And I remember a time where I was presenting at a conference and Jack Humphrey was in the room, And I talked about all of the different formats that Google indexes. And it was like an aha moment for many people in the room, I believe including Jack at the time, saying they'd never really stopped to think that it didn't have to be at that point an HTML document or a PDF file, but they are also indexing spreadsheets, and they're indexing images, and they're indexing videos, and all of those things can be tapped into. And you and I have discussed before how using something like UrfanView, you can go in, you can view the metadata, which is the underlying data of an image. When was it taken? Where was it taken? What type of camera was used? What was the lens? But there are also places in there that you can remove that data, or you can put in retitling, or you can put in keywords, or you can put in a description of what the image is. And if that is done properly, all of those things are the things that Google will then find, and the next thing you know, you're going to be popping up on not only the regular Google search, but also in the image search for those keywords. And one of the things that, you know, tickled my fancy again this past week was I got this email from gentleman Paul Clifford promoting a new product out there that would look at the EXIF data, that's the EXIF data, of images. And there was a $100 off coupon if you wanted to, you know, buy this particular product that will go in and will allow you to change the EXIF data on something before you upload it. After the $100, you were still paying about $100. And that got me to thinking, well, what other programs are out there that will allow you to look at EXIF data or the underlying metadata of images? And I did some research, and I came across a very powerful program called Damien, D-A-M-I-N-I-O-N. And that is a free piece of software for Windows users to use via their laptop or their desktop. And not only will that go in and allow you to view and edit and group the metadata in images, but it will also allow you to do the same with PDF files, with videos, and with audio files. And for those of us that have been around the Internet forever, it is a reminder of the earliest days when we used to talk about meta tags and how important meta tags were. And then everyone tried to preach, well, meta tags don't mean a thing. Google doesn't look at meta tags. Well, a lot of other search engines do. And now increasingly we're discovering, well, guess what? Google does look at metadata. In particular, Google looks at metadata in images and in videos and in PDF files. And that is the stuff that is beginning to drive the Internet and drive the web. And so I think that this next period of time is going to be hearkening to what we predicted a couple of years ago, that you need to pay particular attention to using images, using videos, and so forth, not only to drive data and drive an audience, but to get you associated with a particular keyword or to attract you a particular audience in the search engines. And, you know, I see a lot more of that happening. So it's not merely the churning out of the item, but it's the tailoring of the item once it's churned out. And with the explosion of things like Instagram and Facebook and, you know, all of the video platforms out there, I think that this is a wise way to go, and not that many people are doing it yet. And you have a chance to really get ahead of the wave if you take the opportunity, in particular in using the metadata, not only in images, but in videos and audios and other platforms.
Well, the site that you mentioned, Damien, D-A-M-I-N-I-O-N, as soon as I put that in there, it certainly into the search engine, it brings up, and it also has a video that they put out, September 25th, 2013. So it's relatively new in terms of a product or an offering for people to utilize. But they've already had 42,000 people look at that video.
Well, actually, they've been around for a few more years than that. If you go to their YouTube channel, you'll find that there is a nice series of 10 videos that take you through the whole process. And then another three or four videos that look at new features and as different versions have been introduced. And once again, it's a matter of simply following a thread and then following it through rather than just saying, oh, that's what it does, and take a look at what it really does. And then if you don't want to keep going back to YouTube, by using some of the products that you and I both know are out there, you can take your YouTube video and you can download it to your own computer or laptop and refer back to whenever you want. That's one of the things I've always gotten the habit, or I say always, for the last year or so I've gotten the habit of with any programs I buy. Rather than relying on having to go back to the website itself to look at the tutorials again, I would rather have it on my own system so I can get to it at any time. And that way, if for any reason the new Wonder Tool disappears, I at least have saved to my system the information on how to use it and give me greater insight into using it effectively.
Well, every day in the email box is a new offer for new products. I know you follow these very closely, acquiring some, not acquiring others. Have you acquired anything new that you recently this year or tail end of last year that you really think, wow, this is great, it's new and different?
Well, I have acquired some. I have not used them enough to pronounce them great or new and different. That may come in future shows. But I will be taking a closer look at the Easy VSL video sales letter and Social Spy and a couple of things like that in the days ahead. But I'm so far behind my own learning curve that I'm just now really getting into where I'm learning how to best use Easy Video, Easy Web Video, and discovering all of the possibilities that that particular program has once you take the time to get in and use it and learn it. So it's a matter of not only acquiring, but then dedicating the resources of time and energy to getting in to find out how best to put them to use.
Well, certainly the experience of hands-on, you can't beat that. You've really got to take the time to work through it and work on it. As we go along, and certainly in the next few weeks or months, we're going to talk about the Resale Rights Club. Is there any adjustment to what you've been working on with that? How's that coming along?
It's still a matter of organizing and categorizing it. We've never really made an official launch of it. Right now, there are well over 9,000 to 10,000 items, and it's a matter of loading the most recent stuff in first so that it's the most current, and then uploading the stuff that is evergreen and then making it available to everyone out there and getting it properly categorized. I've been involved with a couple of other major projects that are not of my own but are taking a lot of time right now. And so the Resale Rights Club is very much alive, but it is in a hibernation state right now as we go ahead and work with these particular clients on getting their projects off the ground.
Well, coming up in the next couple of months are a couple of the events. Mary Louise and I are looking at the NAMS conference and David Perdue. It's not too far out there. We were at the first one a few years ago, and it's grown significantly to multi-level tracks and a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. Still a very valuable experience to go to these events, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a way to network with other people that are like-minded, able to put a face together with what might be a digital voice or someone you've seen online. And it becomes a matter of then building on those relationships. David puts on a very good conference from everything I've heard. You and I both have known David for a while. I guess I've known David for about 9 years now. And he was originally beginning this when he was working with telecommunications. And I think pretty much he's full-time now with working with NAMS and the Internet. Really a quality individual, and from what I hear, the NAMS conferences are usually very beneficial to people to attend.
Well, I remember I met David at the Mark Hendricks conference where I met you, and he was there as an attendee trying to figure out the Internet and how to capture some of this. And he's built very strongly on it, and certainly the networking events. There's a number of people that every once in a while reflect back to that 2007 event in Orlando. It certainly was a turning point for me and for Mary Louise to recognize that the Internet is a complicated thing, but it is manageable if you stay on top of it, you know, as best you can. But it's difficult to make money, isn't it?
Well, it becomes a matter of trying to realize you're competing with a lot of people out there for a limited amount, and then it's the degree to which you can differentiate yourself from them and provide added value. One of the things I'm increasingly focused on is the importance to provide value experiences and memories for your audience and for any conferences, things that you hold. If you concentrate on creating value to them and creating experiences and memories that they will take with them, I think it will stand you in good stead to reach that next level that you're talking about when it talks about conversion and monetization. It goes back to something Mark wasn't the first to say, but certainly said among the loudest. People have to know you, like you, and trust you. And that is, you know, one of the keys to succeeding, not only online, but in life itself and networking.
Well, as we wind down today's program, is there specific anything? I mean, you did mention Damien, which I'd never heard of before. Is there anything else you're hiding that you want to talk about now?
Well, if you're exploring metadata when it comes to things like video, you might also want to go into Google Webmaster Tools and find information about schema.org. schema.org. They have an FAQ in there, frequently asked questions, that will give you a lot more insight into the way Google views video, not only using a setup through schema.org, but also the way that it might relate to things like Facebook metadata and their videos. The other thing I'm going to talk about, maybe we'll go into in more detail next week, is the way that you can take your videos and take your training and make them available to an audience of over 50 million people on their widescreen television. And that is by using a tool that we've talked about and I introduced to the audience probably 3 or 4 years ago, Roku. And developing basically programming for Roku and having your own Roku channel, just like Netflix and just like Acorn and just like Hulu, at a very nominal and affordable investment. All it really takes is creation of the channel and generation of the content to put on that channel. And then you'll be right up there to where people that have a Roku device, either on their phone or on their tablet or on their computer or on their television, can stream your channel into their home for either learning how to do things, talking about social change and social tools, many of the other things out there. There have been technical programs available to streaming media for a long time. And this is a way that each individual that's listening to this program can create their own Roku channel and share information if they have information of value to attract a broader audience.
I had heard that Facebook was making some changes Is there anything noticeable that you've seen? I think that it was more along the lines of you can't post something that you're selling. You have to now buy a space or something like that. Are you familiar with anything that's different in the Facebook world?
I haven't gotten in any real depth on marketing via Facebook other than generating awareness of conferences and so forth. I have not been involved in the act of selling a product directly off of Facebook. That's something I will be investigating here in the near future. Primarily things like conferences and software and products like that. So I'm not the best person to ask at this point. One thing that I will mention before we roll down the show, for all of you people that were tempted by get your own instant ClickBank store template that was out there, I chose not to do it after doing a little investigating. You're better off having your own custom WordPress theme and putting in the feeds yourself, because the template they're providing is not only putting out a very broad footprint, but it's also allowing very little content and certainly no original content being added. And it's really, you know, I won't say a waste of money, but it will not do what you're imagining it might do to create a mega storefront with ClickBank products. There are better ways to do it. Maybe not cheaper, but certainly more efficient and a higher chance of indexing and conversion.
Well, one of the things that I found recently is among these webmaster tools that you have mentioned there, but Google has a mobile-friendly test. You know, and if you just Google for those words, it'll bring up the link. But you're able to type a URL in, and it will evaluate it and just return real quickly if it's mobile friendly or not, and it will make some recommendations as to how you can improve it. And I quickly did a few when I found it. I did a couple, and sure enough, some of them, the ones that I thought would come back good, didn't. Everything with WordPress worked fine. You know, so you need to start understanding, or I did, and I'm passing that along to a couple of people that have older websites, that they're not visible. And if anything does show up on a mobile device, it's garbled because it's not interpreting the information correctly. So if you're in the video business and you're not visible on the on a mobile device, you're pretty much at a disadvantage, aren't you?
Well, yeah, you do need to be not only responsive in your theme, but you need to be aware of what will and will not display on a mobile device. For example, you know, if you choose to use Flash Video, you made a very unwise choice. You need to get in the habit of using H.264 or MP4 video across platform for viewing. You also need to do with video what I first began talking about almost a decade ago with the creation of sitemaps. Well, you also need to learn to create video sitemaps. And increasingly, one of the things that I'm becoming aware of is if you remove videos from your website for any reason, or you take them down from YouTube and they can no longer be crawled, you need to let Google know. Otherwise, you're going to start throwing off a lot of 404 errors, and you're not going to be performing well in their search engines. So that's just some of the things that you need to be thinking about as you move along the path out there. But video search engines, mobiles, you know, video sitemaps, regular sitemaps, all of those things are important.
Well, I look forward to learning more about Roku. It's certainly something you've been talking about for a while. I happen to have a Roku box with a device in it that we got over the holidays, and I haven't used it and don't know how to use it. So I'm looking forward to the next conversation.
Well, I look forward to having it with you, and if there's anything I can help you or Mary Louise or anyone out there with in the meantime, They all know how to get a hold of me at NatureProfit@gmail.com, and you got my phone number.
All right, Ron, thank you once again for your time. I'll talk
all
to
right.
you soon.
Good luck to all.
On behalf of Dr. Ron Capps, this is Ken English wishing you a very pleasant and productive week. You can reach Dr. Capps at nichprof@gmail.com. I'm the media mojo guy @gmail.com. Have a great week. We'll be back next week to talk about social media marketing online. Take care.